Anna will be bringing us papers 10 and 11, but we'll start with paper 10, foreign exchange and hyperinflation.
Okay. Our first foreign exchange issue today is about foreign exchange restrictions in hyperinflationary economies such as found in Venezuela. You remember we first discussed this back in July. We identified the key accounting issues as firstly, what rate should be used to translate a net investment in a foreign operation when there are multiple exchange rates? And secondly, should an alternative exchange rate be permitted for the purpose of consolidation when there's a long-term lack of exchangeability? At the time, we tentatively decided not to add these issues to the agenda. Agenda paper 10 analyses three of the four comment letters we received, and Appendix E contains the fourth comment letter from the Accounting Standards Committee of Germany. On the first issue about multiple exchange rates, we've not received any new information, and therefore we believe that we should finalise the tentative agenda decision on this issue without any modifications. Turning to the second and broader issue about the longer term lack of exchangeability, we received two comment letters, one from the submitter, that disagreed with our tentative agenda decision. These respondents requested that the issue should be dealt with by the Interpretations Committee, or if the issue is considered too broad for the Interpretations Committee, then it should be escalated to the IASB. The comment letter from the Accounting Standards Committee of Germany makes a couple of new points. Firstly, they suggest that IAS 21 lacks guidance about what to do if different items in the financial statements are potentially translated using different exchange rates. And secondly, they point out that applying a more advantageous official exchange rate for particular products and industries could potentially be treated as similar to a government grant. I think these are interesting issues, but I think they're secondary to the main issue that was in the original submission, and they arise mostly at the level of the foreign operation rather than on consolidation, which is our particular matter at hand. Other developments in this area include the introduction of a third official exchange rate, the SICAD 2 rate, earlier this year in Venezuela. And we understand that the problem may be alleviated if this exchange rate was more widely used, but at the moment we don't have evidence that this is the case. We had a meeting with the Global Preparers Forum last week, and we raised this issue with them and asked them for their experiences. They noted that in their experience, the new SICAD 2 rate was limited to a very small volume of transactions in practice. And they also made some comments that in certain industries, companies are now beginning to access more exchange of currency using the official fixed rate. If they met that criteria. We think that dealing with this issue would need a narrow scope amendment to IAS 21, and therefore the question for you is really whether to finalise the tentative agenda decision as proposed in Appendix A, or whether we carry out further work to try and develop a solution to recommend a course of action for the ISB. I think we're concerned about the lack of comment on the tentative agenda decision, which perhaps indicates that there's little or limited demand to urgently address this issue. And also, I think there could be challenges in actually coming up with a workable solution. So on balance, and I think it is quite a fine balance, our recommendation is that we finalise the agenda decision. And if you agree with this approach, we'll just be keeping the ISB informed of the decision and let them know. And so the question to you is whether or not you agree with that recommendation.
Bonnie?
I agree with the decision not to take it on. I think a couple of comments that I would make is in the staff paper, paragraph 42C and 46, there are a couple of references that the SICAD 2 rate seems to, if that were used, would alleviate some of the concerns, and I take some exception to that primarily because, at least in our experience, the SICAD 2 rate A is not accessible to us, B is not accessible at the volumes that we would need for it to make any difference whatsoever. So that's a conceptual point that I don't think is practical, so I took some exception to kind of the staffs putting that in the paper. The other comment that I would make is the draft agenda decision talks about using paragraph 26 of IS 21 by extension. I guess that to me seems like we're using it by analogy, and I don't think that's the case. I think we are applying paragraph 26 in coming to our conclusion when there are multiple rates. What is the rate that we should be using based on everybody's company is a little bit different. If you're in the healthcare or kind of the essential goods business, I think generally you may get to one rate. If you're not in that business, you generally could get to a different rate. Again, that's very facts and circumstances specific based on the company, based on their dealings with the Venezuelan government and the goods and services that they do or don't provide. So I think that is the relevant paragraph under IS 21 that's being used. So I think we should take out those two words by extension.
Where do those appear in the decision, Bonnie? I didn't notice.
It's in the fourth paragraph underneath the A and the B, the two primary accounting issues. It's the second sentence.
Yeah, I mean, the reason for putting by extension in is that that paragraph specifically talks about when you're reporting transactions at the local operation level, and therefore the extension is to also apply at consolidated level when you're looking at translation.
I think I read it a little bit differently,
yeah,
and maybe
so
that's why.
Maybe we need to just tweak the wording slightly.
Yeah, if that's, I think it would be helpful to clarify what that is. I read that as by analogy, which I don't.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like that's what was intended to be said. So, okay.
Martin, and then Bruce.
I do not agree with the staff recommendation. More or less to have a nice talk to the board, because I guess with regard to timing, we wouldn't see any answer within the next 3 to 4 or 5 years. We have an issue here, and the issue is specifically the interface between IRS 29 and IRS 21. And I believe it is absolutely correct to apply IRS 29 on the statutory accounts, and then IRS 29 works. But on the other hand, we also have to care for the maintenance of accounting standards. And with regard to countries where we have no, say, functional capital markets, so no ability to really get money out of this country at a specific rate, the interface between IRS 29 and IRS 21 does not work. So how to fix this? We said, okay, we would be able to fix it if we would be able to apply an exchange rate in IRS 21, which is more or less alignable with IRS 29. Then the overall construction would fit in consolidated accounts. So therefore, I said in statutory account, IRS 29 is fine. So I've two possibilities. One is to say, okay, when you have this fixed artificial currency weight, there is a kind of scope out of IRS 29. IRS 29 does not work for your consolidated account. So you have to see how to cope with it, but the results are economically not reasonable. Why? I give you an example out of Venezuela, but we also might have other countries. We have exchange rates which are granted by the government, so to say, for specific products, which are at 6 bolivar per US dollar, and the black market rate is 90 bolivar per dollar. So if you apply an exchange rate of 6 bolivar or 10 bolivar per dollar, on the other hand, you have you fixed this rate over time, and you inflate your P&L by 40% inflation rate, then the figures altogether give you economic nonsense. And therefore, I guess we have to see what one could do in kind of an amendment to IRS 21, or as alternative, with regard to IRS 29, when we say in terms of consolidation, you have to be careful, and might not be that this is an appropriate accounting. With regard to the question whether we have one, two, three, or four exchange rate, my personal view is that within or for one economy, you can only have one exchange rate. And this, the exchange rate, you are able more or less to do mass transactions with, to get out the money out of the country. If you get any advantage to get another exchange rate, this advantage in a way is a kind of subsidy for a specific for a specific value, for a specific service or whatever, and this is importing specific rare goods into this economy. So therefore, I might agree that with regard to question one, what is the applicable exchange rate, I have no real issue on this, because I guess there could be only one economically. But again, on the question how to develop further IRIS 21, I believe we should go for at least try to have a narrow scope amendment in IRIS 21.
Bruce?
Firstly, I was quite concerned about what Bonnie had to say about the access to the SICA 2 rate. I obviously don't have much experience in trying to access it, but I think that a lot of the premise in the second part of this is built on the fact, from my understanding, having read it, that this was not freely available but easily accessible. I guess what I'm hearing is that that's not there, so I think we just need to maybe think about that. The second thing was I accept that there's a major challenge within it. I don't think we're going to get an answer that's going to make sense in the short term on this thing. I think that this is something that there is a broader issue on, and I think that for us to try and address it in this committee, I think we'll be lucky to get an answer out in the next 3 to 6 months. And I think the reality is that people are going to reporting periods now. They're going to have to make a judgment on that and just go ahead with it, unless we believe we could get something out very, very shortly, which I don't think we would. And then my third comment just was on the actual agenda decision, which I wasn't unhappy about. Just the last bit around where we've put in there, in addition, the following disclosure items, I would take that out. I'm not necessarily convinced that adds to our argument around why we are not taking it onto the agenda. And I think they're just pretty broad around, these are general requirements under IFRS as to what judgments we'd make. I'm not convinced I would put that in. I don't think it adds to the agenda decision at all.
So the last paragraph.
Just the last paragraph. Yeah, I just don't think it's necessary. I think that, we're kind of saying you need to disclose judgments. Well, I mean, we should put that into every one of the agenda decisions then. So I'm not convinced I'd put that in.
Tony?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with where the staff's got to in terms of the conclusion. I think the existing literature is clear enough. And I don't think there is significant diversity in practice. Certainly in connection with the first question, I don't think there is diversity in practice. I think people understand it. When we get on to the second question, I understand the tensions, but I think any diversity is that people are making different judgments based on their circumstances about which rate that they're going to use. And I think those judgments have been made. And Venezuela's been hyperinflationary and has had fixed exchange rates for 5 years now. So I think people have made their judgments. They've taken into account SENCOEX as it has been for a while, and then SICAD 1 and SICAD 2. So I'm not sure that there is significant diversity in practice other than people making different decisions based on their different circumstances about which rate to use. I share Bruce's concern that I don't think this is a question of interpretation. I think the standard is clear. There is a question about whether IS 21 and IS 29 work well together, but I don't think that's something that the committee can address. I also think that any amendment to say, well, okay, there are some circumstances in which you don't apply IS 29 raises a really critical question about scope. What are the circumstances in which you would apply it? And again, I think taking all that together, this is fairly wholesale surgery, and I don't think it's something that the committee should or can address. So I'd be comfortable going ahead with the agenda decision. I just had a couple of observations on the penultimate paragraph with respect to the second issue. The Interpretations Committee observed the issue is widespread. I'm not quite sure it is widespread. Clearly it applies in Venezuela. There might be one or two other places. I'm just not sure how widespread it is. So I wondered if potentially widespread it might happen. There may be an issue in Argentina in the near future. I don't know. And has led to some diversity in practice. I'm not sure it has led. I think people might have made different decisions based on their circumstances. And so I wondered whether it might lead to diversity in practice. Would sort of better reflect where we are. But overall, I'm comfortable with it, subject to those couple of suggestions.
So, board member privilege.
I just wanted to make one observation that came from the board meeting when we discussed this and was raised by one board member, not me, so I'm reporting back, which was they wondered whether it would be helpful in the same way that in relation to the first issue, the committee acknowledged that the first sentence, if you like, in paragraph 26 had been used to help, whether there was not a similar case to observe that the principles in the second sentence in paragraph 26 might help in relation to the second issue, and whether making that observation might actually be helpful. They even went so far as to suggest whether there was a case to make an annual improvement to sort of build on that principle to help with this diversity issue, given that, you know, this gets at this exchangeability issue. It says temporarily, so it's not specifically on point, but at least it introduces that idea into IS21, and I just wanted to throw that out there so you guys were aware of that having been raised.
Yeah, thanks, Sue. That's paragraph 17, part D. Yeah, that's where we mentioned.
Okay, so let's go to the phones. Fei Long? Okay, Sandy?
Yeah, I was okay with not adding it to the agenda. I don't think it can get resolved in a timely way. And chances are for users of the financial statements going to be discussed so much someplace else in the financial statements or outside of the financial statements, they're unlikely to not know what's going on.
Martin, last call.
I'm just focusing on this wording, no diversity in practice. So the question is how many countries IS-29 is applied. So if you argue, well, IS-29 is applied only in one or two countries, then for sure we will have no diversity in praxis. Or we say we have total diversity in praxis because it's only applied in one country, and there we have all the problems or the issues. And when we later on come to a vote, what we probably also should discuss is the question when we say, okay, we are not able to fix IS-21. And we do not say, okay, IS-21 has no rule specifically if you have no rate where you currently do exchange your money. Is then the question with regard to consolidation and on this interaction, specifically what Sue said, that probably with regard to number 26 one could consider to try a wording on this interaction for consolidation purposes, because I guess for statutory purposes we are fine. This could also be a kind of, well, beneficial thing.
Okay. I'm going to ask the question in two pieces. The first piece is, do you accept this? Excuse me, the staff recommendation. Show of hands.
Eleven in the room.
I heard Sandy and Fei Long both say that they did as well. Now, having said that, though, I heard at least one proposal for major surgery, or wholesale surgery, whichever, and that was to delete the section of the decision beginning with the word however. which I think was described as admonitions to do what you're already required to do. Important to keep it.
Yeah.
Okay. How many would favor keeping it?
Ten.
Sandy, if you vote no, I'm going to be amazed.
I'm sorry, I had to step away from the phone.
We were discussing the removal of an admonition toward disclosure. And if I was saying that if you voted against that, I would be amazed.
Okay. I won't vote against it then.
Okay. Fei Long?
I'm okay.
You're okay. All right. We leave it in. Is that all we need to talk about on this paper, Hannah?
Yep.
Okay.
Fine, thank you.